Good afternoon. How's everyone doing? Great. Happy Chuseok? Yeah? So this morning, I came into the office and I heard that at Alpha Community in the morning, Pastor Christian preached on something very similar to what I prepared. And I am very, all the way more excited to release this word. So, someone said PC spoke on being selfless, and today at Omega Community, I would like to talk about serving the Lord. Everyone say, serve the Lord. You know, for the past few Sundays, we've been talking a lot about end times, and we've been watching sermon videos rather than live preaching. So this is a rare opportunity for me as a community pastor to release a sermon like this. So for the past few Sundays, if you're new, we've been watching sermon videos of the Alpha Community. And so it's been Pastor Christian speaking for the past few weeks. And I've been really looking forward to be able to just address this community in a very particular way. So I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to really move. So open your heart to this message. And the title of this message is very local as well. I titled this sermon, Omega Will Serve the Lord. Sorry, other campuses, if you are listening through podcasts and stuff like that. It still applies to you. You could just replace it with your community name. But at this service, it's going to be Omega Will Serve the Lord. Full title will be, I guess, Hongdae Omega Will Serve the Lord. But it's for this community. I would like to begin by saying, for this very particular Sunday service to happen, there are a lot of things that need to take place. Not just on stage, but behind the scene, there are so many hands that put together this service. So let me just name a few. If I'm missing anything, do not be offended, okay? There are things that happen on stage, like public stuff. Praise team, yeah, they just had an awesome worship set for us, but also there are like these beautiful banners that are hanging, right? Week in, week out. And also like prayer meetings, we have different banners, and someone designed the banner, right? And someone ordered the banner, someone hanged the banner, someone replaces the banner for the right occasion that happens. Tech team, you don't really see them. They're actually on that loft behind the iMac. You can't really see them. It's like dark in there. But there are a ton of people that are controlling my microphone, music. They are doing a lot of things that we take for granted. There's tech team that's doing that. There is lighting. You know, someone has to put all these lights on. You know, someone called Pastor Christian, every single week he orders more lights and he actually gets on the ladder. He actually tweaks all the lighting. So this week, actually, lighting is different. I don't think many of you have noticed. Sorry, PC, but a lot of people, we every single week pay a lot of attention to lighting even for us to have a better worship experience. There's AC running, but there's someone always checking the temperature of the room, making sure it's strong or it's weak. There's someone serving in the capacity. There's someone who always comes in and check the attendance, you know, to see if we're growing, if we're shrinking. There's someone always counting with their, you know, phone. Attendance counters. There's also bulletin on your chair. You know, there's envelopes with it. And then there what? There's Oak Tree Run flyer in it. It didn't do it automatically. Somebody had to one by one put it, insert all those things into the bulletin. Somebody wrote the bulletin. Somebody designed the bulletin. Somebody ordered the bulletin. Everything you could imagine. It's these chairs. These chairs don't set up by itself. Somebody had to drag these heavy red chairs to where you're sitting, and they had to make sure they are perfectly lined up, and there's a perfect, not really perfect today, but it's okay. The aisle in the middle, you know, somebody had to pay attention to these things. And also, trash cans, bathroom cleaning, this sanctuary doesn't clean itself. Someone had to wipe your chairs, the floor, everything, okay? That's only a few, and I didn't even mention everything. So there's a lot of service that need to happen for a Sunday worship to take place. You guys got my point, right? So when you get saved, when you get into church, I think Christianity 101 is when you come into church, people ask you to serve. People ask you to start serving the Lord, start serving the community, and I think that was the case for me as well. You know, and there's also that question, why do we serve God? Why do we serve one another? And how do they relate? And And I'm today here to answer some of those questions and like make a point about that, or why we need to continue to do so. Why do we serve God? Why do we serve one another? And I would like to say, summarize it by saying service is all about God's grace. Everyone say God's grace. God gave you the ability to serve. I would like to start from there. Acts chapter 17 verse 25 says this, He's not served by human hands. This is speaking of God, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. It says God is not served by human hands. Wait a second. Didn't we just talk about all these areas of service that go unto the Lord? But God's word is very clear. He is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. So what this verse is saying is God does not lack anything. He doesn't need you to serve him. In fact, he's the one that gives you everything, your breath, your life, your ability, skill, and everything he provides for you so that you could participate in his glory. It's not that God needs you, but he wants you to be in this glorious service unto him. 1 Peter chapter 4, 11 to 12. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn here. This is the main text that I'm going to be using today. 1 Peter chapter 4, 11 to 12 says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is verse 11. I'm going to pause here. Each one of you has received a gift from the Lord. Some of us, we received more than one, multiple gifts from God. And the Bible says, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. It says God's grace, it's multifaceted. You know, it has multi-functions. There are different skills. There are different areas of gifting that you have received, and Bible calls it grace. Grace, by definition, is unmerited favor from God. It's something that you did not deserve. It's something that God gave to you as a gift. So who am I to say, oh, I have all these beautiful skills and abilities and I'm this awesome, so I'm just going to give it to the Lord and use it for God's kingdom. No, at the beginning, you got to know that even the fact that you have these abilities and skills, it also is the evidence of God's grace in your life. So who are you to say that, oh, I choose to use it for God, I choose to not to use it for the Lord, because it all came from him. You didn't deserve it. It's God's grace that's been deposited into you so that you could use it to serve one another. God's varied grace. Verse 12 reads this, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever, ever, forever and ever. Amen. So whoever speaks, do it as oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. This is the key, okay? It's not just all about serving. The type of service that glorifies Jesus is very specific. It is the type of service that is supplied by God's grace, and then you give it out. So when you serve, it's not something that like, oh, I should be really good at it, or it should come really natural, it's really easy for me to do this. No, like the type of service that pleases God is when you do it, when it's clear that you do it by receiving God's grace on a daily basis. It's supplied by God, and then I serve others with that. That's the essence of God-pleasing, God-glorifying service. You know, when it's all about you being awesome, when it's all about you singing so well that you have to be on stage, you know, when it comes to like you having so much pride in what you can do and you can offer to the church, you really miss the point of the whole service. It's got to show that you do it through the supply of God's strength in everything that you do. And I hope when I preach, I get to glorify Jesus Christ through my preaching. Because it's not something that's easy, or it's actually pretty natural to me. But, you know, some of you know my story. I'm a native Korean. I grew up in Korea. I never left Korea until age 20, 21. And I never lived outside of Korea. So English was an area of insecurity for me. And I felt very uncomfortable speaking in front of people. However, my journey of overcoming my insecurity, overcoming my fear, and being able to preach like this, I really hope and pray that every time I speak, like the Bible says, I speak because I know God has chosen to use me in this way. And this is my service to the body. This is my service to the Lord. And I hope that when I preach, you guys get to see that I do it through the supply of God's grace and His strength. I'm not speaking because I'm just an awesome speaker. I'm not on stage because I'm just awesome like that or anything like that, you know. I hope that the body or the even outside world is able to see that. Oh, she does. She speaks because God supplies the ability to her. God gave her the grace to do so. And that's the type of service that glorifies Jesus' name. So I don't know, in some areas that you're serving or you're doing things and you feel like you lack things, you're not good enough for the task, I want to encourage you, eat all the way more. It's not a sign that you need to drop out of it. It's a sign that you need to ask God for more grace. You know, if you are a worship leader, that's beginning, you know, that's still pretty new to what you're doing. It's an opportunity for you to keep doing it, receiving the grace of God and showing to the world that I do it because God supplies me with all strength that I need. Do everything with the strength that comes from the Lord. And that is glorifying Jesus' name. I remember when I was first saved, I was 19. I was a freshman in college, and I knew nothing about Christianity. I had no background in church whatsoever. So when I first got to serve at a church event, I was so excited. It was a church coffee house. It was to raise funds for like a mission trip. And I remember like the night before, I couldn't even go to sleep because I was so excited that I got to do something for Jesus. And that was my first time. And I remember waking up Saturday morning extra early. Like I woke up like 3 hours before and I just, you know, put myself together in, you know, and then I wanted to get a new shirt. I don't know why. I had to wear like a white shirt, but then I had one, but I wanted to wear something better. You know, I'm going to coffee house to serve the Lord. So I remember like going out to Shincheon streets and I looked at every white shirt that they sold and I found the perfect one. I wore that and then I got lost and I was mad late to the event. But when I got there, like my job was simple. I was a waitress. Okay. I served cider, Coke. Oh, what would you like to have? You know, it was like a courtesy drink. So I was in charge of getting their orders. I was mad nervous because my English was really bad. You know, what do you want? Excuse me? You know, Sprite, you know, whatever. And I had to take their order and then I had to go to the kitchen, get the drink, perfect amount of ice and perfect amount of soda and then serving them, bringing it to them with a big smile on my face. That meant so much to me. So I did that for about like 4 or 5 hours that day. And, you know, my feet were swollen because you're just constantly walking around. And I just remember that night, I couldn't fall asleep because I was so thankful and I was so full of joy. I still remember the feeling. I felt that, wow, Jesus used me today. Oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional. You know, I remind myself whenever my heart grows cold towards the church, or when I get too comfortable and used to doing things for Jesus. And I try to remember that moment. Yeah, even in that small thing that I did, Jesus was glorified. And I came out of my comfort zone to serve Him, and God was so happy with me. 19-year-old Myeonghak Choi, and I haven't lost that heart. 10 years passed, I still have that heart. I still want to do the same thing with the same heart. With the joy, knowing that through God's strength, I can do things for Him and He is glorified through that. So I don't know which area you're serving, church. You know, maybe you're part of service team. Maybe you do count attendance. I don't know. I don't know what you do, okay? I actually do. I know everyone here, what you guys are involved with. Whenever your heart gets hardened, remember this story. Remember when was the first time you got to serve Jesus and you felt the pleasure of the Father in your heart. And go back to that moment and remind yourself why you do things that you do. Do not graduate from that pure heart. And also, service is, I talked about how it's all about God's grace. You know, you get to serve because God gave you everything, and He's the one that is strengthening you to serve on a daily basis. And that now, I told you He doesn't need our service. And this is my second point. He allows us to be like Jesus Christ through our service. He's simply inviting us, you and I, to a life that resembles Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10:45 says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." This verse comes after Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. You know, the washing of the feet, it was a job of a slave, okay, back in the days. And if he's a rabbi, if he's a teacher, if he's the leader of over all the disciples, this is by no means, this is not Jesus' role. That's not his job. But Jesus humbled himself to get down on his knees and wash those dirty feet of the disciples in the place of the slave. Jesus came truly to serve, and he demonstrated by doing the lowest thing that was possible. Washing the feet was Jesus' service to us. Feeding the thousand was his service unto us. Healing the sick was his service unto us. Dying on the cross was also his service unto us. Jesus was a servant to all, and that's why he's the greatest of all. And all of that service that he did for us, now we get to do it ourselves to one another. There is, I think, misconception that's very common in the church. I don't know about our church. Maybe some of you are thinking it. I don't know. I just throw it out there that there's hierarchy or levels in different services. You know, the glorified services like praise team, you know. You get to be under the spotlight. You get to sing. You're on the screen. Maybe the lowest of all is, I'm sorry, service team. You know, service team takes care of the bathroom, trash cans, water cooler, or whatever, cleaning, setting up the chairs. Or maybe something in the middle is like welcoming team. You know, you get to interact with other people. You get to wear the yellow name tag that says usher. How cool, you know, yeah? Service team, everyone's like smiling. But I like to say, that is totally wrong. That is totally wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7 says this. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." It says same Spirit, same Lord, and same Holy Spirit who empowers to do all these things. There is no higher service. There is no lower service. There is nothing that's greater or better. It is all service unto the same person. It is unto the Lord. And you're never too good enough for church cleaning. Amen? Leaders, amen? Uh-huh. You're never too good to be doing humble tasks like moving chairs and cleaning up after people. There are only the type of service that goes unto the Lord, empowered by the same Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus spoke, "Be a servant to all." Do not be picky with what you get to do. I mean, obviously, it depends on your gifting. It depends on your ability and your skill sets. However, it's not to say that one is better than another. And if you really think about, I don't know if you grew up in the church or not, service, the area of serving the church, there's a lot of drama involved. I didn't grow up in church, so, you know, but I've seen enough, even in our church. Regarding service unto church or unto God, many people feel used. Have you ever seen people that feel used and they leave the church because they're hurt? Many of them forgot that they actually prayed to God to use them. You know, when you come to church, one of the first things that you pray is, God, use me. Yeah? Have you guys prayed that prayer? God, use me for your glory. But you never specified how to use you, right? So God's like, all right, I'll use you. And then you're like, I feel used and I'm going to quit church. That's how if you really look at the sequence of it, that's how it happens. You're like, use me. And then God's like, all right, I'll use you. And you're like, I feel used. And you leave. There's a little bit of a twist in that, right? Do you guys catch that? This is not to justify the churches that actually abuse their people. There are churches that need to improve on how they run things, including my church, my own church. But then there is a fundamental twist in this type of mindset. And I want to point that out. The Bible makes it very clear, when you serve the Lord, there is no wage from it. Yeah? That's why we call it a lot of times volunteerism. Yeah? Church, if you do anything for church, you don't expect to get paid, right? I hope you don't. Yeah? Not going to pay you. You know, it's a kind of mutual agreement that, okay, there's no wage involved. This is volunteerism, and I'll do it. I sign up, and I do it on my own accord. Until you get to heaven, okay? Then you can talk about reward that comes from the Lord, not from me, okay? There is no wage. But there is, in our sinful nature, always in everyone, there is that part of our flesh that wants to be rewarded immediately, that wants to be recognized immediately. And that's a very natural thing. If you look around, not just in the church, but you go outside of the church, this is more prevalent. Everyone has that expectation to get something back. I just served you, so I expect something back. Maybe not monetary gain, maybe not a wage, but at least they can thank me. That's an expectation. At least they can publicly acknowledge that I did something. That's definitely an expectation. And that's totally not in line with not expecting a wage back. You do expect something back. But the Bible says it very clearly, do not expect anything back. There's no wage in this life. No recognition, no honor. There may not be monetary reward, but still, do it, you know. And that's completely against our fleshly desires, because we all want to be acknowledged. We all want to be honored. We all want to be rewarded. We all want to be recognized publicly for what we did. You know, that's our fleshly nature. But the Bible says it clearly, the Father in heaven has seen everything that you did, and he will reward you accordingly. Therefore, there is no waste, because the one who has to see your service has seen it all. And he didn't miss anything. So set your eyes on the rewards in heaven. Store up your rewards and expect in heaven and expect nothing back. I know it's hard to swallow, but that's how we need to, when you're on the serving end, for your own sake, remember this. God saw it. He will reward me accordingly. I'm good. No monetary gain is necessary. No recognition is necessary. I did it unto the Lord anyways. So, you know, people don't say anything. That is fine. That's so that you will set yourself free from all these like deceptions and all these hurts, unnecessary dramas. For your sake, remember this teaching. Unless you get this right, you will start to have strange expectations without you even realizing. As if God or the church owes you something back and they are not fulfilling your expectation. While we emphasize honor and euphily, we even have an annual banquet to honor our leaders who serve very selflessly. Honor is a powerful thing. We believe it's God's kingdom thing. However, do you guys realize honor is supposed to flow and not forced? You know, the hardest person to honor is the person who expects honor. Yeah? Hardest person to respect is one that actually demands honor from you. You know? you know, your bosses or your professors that are kind of like demanding, hey, you're supposed to honor me, teachers, they, duh. You know, like, or people who just gives off that impression that, hey, you're supposed to respect me type of people. When you feel that demand on you, you just don't want to honor the person. Isn't that so true? Honor is supposed to flow from the heart. It's not supposed to be demanded. It's not supposed to be through entitlement or expectations. A lot of people who serve church faithfully, they build their identities around their service. This is also a very natural thing because people want to feel needed. Especially men. This is very, very true. It's like a psychology thing. Like they want to feel needed and then that's where they find their significance. Oh, I'm needed here. I need to step in here. You know, that's what builds their ego. You know? Even women, same thing, but men more. We all have the desire to be useful. Don't we? Who here wants to feel useless? Yeah? If you are in a community, everyone wants to feel useful. Isn't that true? So that's a very natural thing for our flesh. A lot of times that ends up becoming their motivation to serve because, oh, I'm needed in this area or because I'm useful, you know, and they feel important about themselves. But service is not about you being useful. It's about you being faithful. Remember this line. It's not about you being useful or successful. It's about you being faithful where you're called to be. If you build your identity around your service, it's meant to crumble down. Your work is not meant to hold the foundation of your identity. It is bound to crumble down. People that are so involved in church, serve the church faithfully for years, if their identity was built upon the one role, and then when the role disappears, or when the role is not needed anymore, or someone better comes in and then gets replaced, oh, you will start to crumble down. I remember I was a prayer team leader for a couple of years, and some of you were in my prayer team. You know, I didn't volunteer for the role, by the way. I was assigned to take over, okay? So I did it faithfully because I was told to lead. Okay, I'll do it. And I took over. After a couple of years, Pastor Christian decided, okay, prayer team is not useful. Or, I don't know. He didn't word it well. Anyways, pretty much said, it's not necessary anymore. So we're going to get rid of prayer team, okay? How did that make me feel? Not good. I didn't feel good. You know, pretty much saying everything that you guys are doing, we can go without you guys. It's pretty much what it communicates, right? So I didn't feel good about it. However, I had to fight my flesh because I realized I cannot build my identity upon my titles or what I do. It's not about that. I was faithful for what I was called to do for the duration it was given to me, and I finished it. So I gladly and happily released the duty, you know. So there are situations like that. You better not build your identity around your service. It's not about you being useful. And there are people, very, very faithful people tend to do this. They hide behind their work. They hide behind their service. People who are so good at serving, they are very servant-hearted, but it becomes their comfort zone, or it becomes their kind of like, I don't know, like a comfort zone, I guess is best way to put it. They do so much, and they function greatly so that that others think you are doing great, even when you're not doing great. So that's the danger. So if you're really doing great, and you're serving in every area really well, that's wonderful. That's great. Keep doing that. However, when your inner life starts to fall apart and you're actually struggling, but because there are so many things that you are doing and you're just functioning fine, and because everything is functioning fine, people don't know that you're struggling and you end up getting like, you end up like crumbling down, you know? And the danger of it is because you're functioning just fine, you yourself start to think that you're doing fine. When things are clearly not going well, when your heart is clearly hardening, when you're clearly struggling with different types of sin, but you don't even get to realize because you're functioning just fine. Making it out to all the meetings, you know, you're at every prayer meeting, and you are fulfilling every expectation or requirements. But however, are you really doing well? How's your relationship going? How's your relationship with your family, with Jesus? Is everything going all right? And you don't even get to think about it because you just hide behind your tasks and you're just serving and serving and no one even gets to notice that you're not doing well. Well, I'm leading CG. I'm leading my girls. Oh, I'm an usher. You know, but how are you really doing, guys? Or are you in any way hiding behind your duties or your responsibilities and not able to examine where you're really at? Don't hide behind the service. That's not how it's meant to be. And I think there's a perfect picture of service gone wrong, and I found it in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is a famous story known as Mary and Martha's story, and I'm going to read it for you. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. ESV. Now as they went on their journey, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. On the surface, it looks like Jesus is saying, hey, serving is a bad thing, okay? Sitting at my feet and listening to me is better, and so don't serve. It sounds like Jesus is saying serving is bad, okay? But in the whole counsel of the Bible, you can't just look at this one story. You got to look at the teachings of Jesus. Jesus actually emphasizes hospitality. He's the one that teaches about serving others selflessly. So if you look at the entire counsel of the Bible, he's not, clearly not saying service is bad. He's the one that says serve the church, serve one another. So that's not the point of the story. It wasn't what Martha was doing was bad. It's not that service is bad in its own, but this girl had attitude. That's the issue. This girl, Martha, okay, had attitude issue, clearly. And best way to summarize it, I think, is this. Martha was simply offended. She was, you know, Jesus is so gentle. He's so loving, okay? Jesus described her as this. You're distracted, with many things. And Jesus said, you're anxious and troubled. But Jesus is too nice here, I think, okay? She's straight up being mean here. She's really mean. And I would just describe her as, she's bitter. She's jealous that Mary gets to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to all the stories that she can't. Martha is being judgmental, not just towards Mary, but also to Jesus. She straight up judges Jesus there. Hey, don't you care that she's just sitting there listening to you? And tell her to come help me, you know? So she's being judgmental. She's being self-righteous, as if she knows better than Jesus what's right in this situation. She was greatly offended. You know, she's probably thinking, in the kitchen, cooking up the meal for Jesus. Mary, so selfish, you know? That girl needs to come in here right now. How immature, foolishness, you know. She's probably thinking, cooking up, you know, really like rumbling. Does she think that I want to be in the kitchen? You know, I want to be out there too. I want to sit there. I want to listen to the stories. But somebody's got to do the job. She's probably thinking this. And why is Jesus not saying anything to her? Isn't he supposed to know better and then tell her to come in and help me? Because in her mind, she's so convinced that she's doing something better than being outside. So she's like angry. On top of that, she's also bitter at Jesus himself. That Jesus is not stopping her. Jesus is not stopping to talk. So when she spoke up, her attitude shows. You know, this is like the most mean sentence from the Bible, I think. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You know, this is really mean. And says, tell her then to help me. Come on. You know, that's exactly what she said. And when she spoke up, she accused both of them, Jesus for not caring, and also Mary for not helping her. And Jesus, you know, he's the Lord, so he doesn't feel bad or embarrassed. Anyone else will feel bad. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, we didn't know you were feeling that way. You know, I would have responded that way, but Jesus actually goes. He's not feeling bad or embarrassed about it at all. He's not offended either. I think I would be offended if a sister spoke up like this. But he's not offended. He just says gently, hey, Mary, you're anxious and troubled about many things. And he actually takes this opportunity to teach her something and not rebuke her. The problem with Martha was not her heart to serve. It was her attitude. It was the root, her heart, where things were coming from. She was offended. She was probably hurt. And because of this offense, there was no room for her to feel intimacy. And she probably felt used, neglected, all these things that I described. This just story shows it all. This type of service is toxic to one's soul. How many of us accused others in our heart? I don't think anyone had the gut to speak up like Martha did. But how many of us felt accused? I mean, not felt accused, but how many of you accused others for not helping, not serving? Gosh, everyone's moving chairs. Get up and move some chairs. Have you ever thought that? I have. Judging others for not doing what you're doing. Or feeling that you're better than others for doing more. Feeling bitter that others are not pulling their weight. Feeling that you're the only one that cares. Feeling you're doing great because you serve faithfully. Feeling better than other people. Or how many of you were bitter at Jesus or your spiritual authorities? Bitter that pastors don't do anything about the situation. It's always the same people that serve. It's always the same people that come out to clean the sanctuary PCPE. Do something about it, you know? How many of you felt that? Maybe none of you spoke up. Feeling neglected, feeling unrecognized, feeling like you were the only one who were doing everything, thinking they are not doing their job, all these things. Or feeling offended that the leaders will give more attention to the flaky newcomer than faithful you, who've been serving for years. Yeah? You know, I'm sure when Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, she didn't mean to feel this way. If you think about it, Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, probably full of joy and expectation. Wow, Jesus is coming over to our house. I'm going to cook up the most delicious meal for him, and I'm going to welcome him and show hospitality like no other house. Oh my gosh, we're going to have such a good night. Jesus is coming to my house. Probably that's what she was feeling until the moment the offense just kicked in. Oh, freaking sister, get up. Come help me. You know, until the moment of offense, she probably never intended to feel this way. And her day was completely ruined. Day that was supposed to be a joy-filled, hospitality showing, glorifying Jesus, fellowship with others. A day that's supposed to be a joyful feast turned into the sour, bitter, you know, all sorts of bad type of day. You know, some of us, I think, if you could relate to some of the emotions that I described, Sundays have a high potential of being a stressful day, resenting at others, looking around and thinking, gosh, same people are serving again. Thinking, oh, I'm the only one pulling my weight again. You know, oh, looking at the same people and judging them, thinking, why aren't they doing anything at church? I don't know what you're thinking. And there might be varied, you know, degree of it. But Sundays are never meant to be. It's never designed to be that way. It's a day that you come out. It's supposed to be a joyful celebration of King Jesus being able to be his hands and feet, opportunity to serve one another and grow deeper in love with one another. Have you been feeling that way? You know, by ushering newcomers to their seats, by setting up the chairs and thinking about the people who will sit on these chairs, blessing them, expecting to build deeper relationship with the saints, brothers and sisters that you don't know well. Has your Sunday been that way? Or are you grumbling behind your cameras? Are you grumbling or are you feeling bitter as you feel like everyone else gets to enjoy this amazing worship and I still need to usher? You know, what's the heart behind your service? Are you feeling stressed out? Are you feeling tired? Or do you feel like, or if you are not serving already, do you feel like you never want to serve the church? Because you never want to feel that bitterness again. Because you never want to feel used again. And is that what's stopping you from serving the church? I'm just going to end with praying together, and I want everyone to stand to your feet.